Now that we've heard from Clell Fowles, let's go ahead and turn our attention to Dr. Sheely.
Please call me Norm.
Norm, I'll definitely do that. Thank you for that. Now, Norm, what I'd like to have you do, if you'd be so kind, I couldn't begin to introduce you. And as clumsy as this may sound, you're an MD and a PhD and a neurosurgeon and an author, and you sit on all these scientific boards and you've written all these papers. Could you kind of give us a little bit of an idea? And I know that this is kind of boring for your benefit, but for the listener's benefit, I think it's really helpful. And in fact, I did something interesting last night. I did a Google search on your name, and I had 121,000 links to your name.
Gosh, is that all, Dan?
Well, what I would like to do, Norm, first of all, could you give us a little bit about your background, where you were trained, and that kind of thing?
Well, I went to Duke Medical School, and then I had a neurosurgical residency at the Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston. From there, I served on the faculty at Western Reserve Medical School in Cleveland. And then I became the chair of neurosciences at one of the largest clinics in the country, Gunnison Clinic. And during that time, I was on the teaching faculty at the University of Minnesota and the University of Wisconsin. And later, I began to move into my subspecialty, pain and stress management. And as I did that, I began to get my own interest in psychology to the point that I went back and got a PhD in psychology from Saybrook, one of the humanistic psychology institutions. I served for 15 years on the board of trustees and the faculty at Forest Institute of Professional Psychology. Now, during my career, I have published about 300 scientific articles and 24 books.
Now, these scientific articles, now, you published them in the local newspaper or where?
Well, I've had a few things in newspapers. I don't count those. No, these are in peer-reviewed journals.
So the real thing?
They're the real thing. And my interest since medical school has been science.
Now, you also sit on the boards that other authors that are trying to get published, and you review their papers.
Yes, I'm on about 6 editorial boards.
When do you find time to be married?
Well, I don't watch television.
Wow. Now, besides the fact that you've written all these books, and in fact, you've got a popular book out now that's selling quite well.
Yeah, Life Beyond 100, Secrets of the Fountain. And in fact, interestingly, the background of that is what eventually got me willing to investigate Mystica.
You know, I think it's interesting because I remember the first time I brought this up to you. You all but laughed at me. In fact, you did laugh at me. You suggested that it was a waste of time is what your actual words were.
Yeah. Well, I began to be interested about 6 or 7 years ago in what I would consider the single most important monitor of what's happening in your body, and that's free radicals. Free radicals are destructive. They actually damage tissue. They cause wrinkling. They cause disease. And ultimately, they're the cause of death.
Now, I have a very good friend that is a molecular geneticist, and you and I share this friendship with this individual. What is the implication from your perspective, and not with regards to any one company's product, but just this issue of antioxidants and DNA damage?
Well, ultimately, DNA is reproduced in every cell in our body. Different cells, different organs have different life times, so that within 7 years, essentially every cell in your body is reproduced. Sometimes, of course, a few cells much quicker than that. If they were reborn, if you will, into a medium that is healthy, then they would be youthful cells. But as we mature, even in childhood, we begin to develop an excess of free radicals. And those free radicals then damage the new cells as they're produced. So each generation becomes a little more wrinkled, so to speak.
So the replicated cell is replicating with bad information or damaged information or?
Well, that's right. The information is damaged. The actual telomere, which is part of the DNA.
Whatever that is.
Well, it's the tail of the telomere.
Okay.
That actually determines how long you're going to live.
Oh, wow. And so this is serious stuff.
And that is damaged by free radicals.
So when I approached you and I said that this company that I was interested in had a new gee whiz bang super duper antioxidant product, and you said that you had tested basically every functional food, beverage, antioxidant product out there.
Well, the most interesting thing about that is all of us believe that antioxidants are good for you.
Right.
And we think of vitamin C and beta-carotene
right.
and vitamin E and CoQ10, ubiquinone, which is my favorite word for CoQ10, that all of these are good for you. And there is good clinical evidence that they are. But they don't reduce free radicals, interestingly.
How can you say that?
Well, because there are dozens of publications showing that if you give people moderately large doses of vitamin C or whatever, the free radical production is not changed.
So when you were approached and asked to do this study, you weren't overly encouraged that you're going to be able to come up with a definitive outcome that was measurable that would document the product really reduced the free radical damage. Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say. In fact, I'd say you twisted my arm.
Okay. And what I would like to know is when you did the study, you first did what I like to refer to as kind of a study before the study.
Because a pilot study.
Yeah, because you really didn't think it was going to work.
That's right.
You had very
and
little
I
confidence.
I thought, well, I could do the pilot study and it doesn't work and I can be done
and
with
just
this.
Throw it away and that's out of my hair, right?
Right. And so we did and I had 10 volunteers, mm-hmm. normal people. I didn't go to any unusual type of person. I didn't tell people to change any of their habits. I just took 10 normal people, some smokers, a lot overweight, and I said—
So basically representative of the real population.
You bet. And so I said, I want you to take 1 ounce of Mystica in the morning and 1 ounce at night. And we measured their free radicals in the urine, which is the best way to measure them, by the OxyScore test before, and then we measured them after they had taken the 2 ounces a day of Mystica for 2 weeks, and 50% of the people had a reduction in free radicals. Now, I was disappointed.
Yeah, I remember that dialogue back and forth because you were thinking that only half of the people in that short span had had a significant reduction. And if you remember right, I made a comparison to baseball. If you batted 500, you'd be one of the richest players in history.
And then when you said that, I thought, well, you know, actually there are almost no drugs that are 50% effective. Therefore, it isn't that bad, even though I was expecting 75% or better.
Well, now, you were encouraged enough from this so-called pilot study that you actually went on and did a full IRB, and I'd like to have you elaborate on that, qualifying human clinical study. Could you tell us what that means?
Yes. In order to have a paper accepted by the scientific community, if you're doing research on human subjects, it has to go before an institutional review board. And our institutional review board is FDA qualified. And so I put in a full protocol to do 30 patients for 3 weeks.
And this was something you did before the test was ever done?
That's right.
So this study was pre-approved, if you will.
It was pre-approved by our IRB, the Quantum Institutional Review Board. Then I asked for new subjects, and we got 38 individuals. And interestingly, by the way, a majority of those people involved in that particular study were from the Department of Health Education at a major university.
So these were people involved with health in some way.
Well, they were teaching health education, but interestingly, they're a cross-section of human beings because all but two of them were not eating, for instance, 5 servings of fruits and vegetables a day, which is the minimum for good health. And there were several smokers and there were quite a number who were overweight. So they were a cross-section of human beings again.
Now, I've heard it said it's not so much what you eat as what you don't eat. Is there anything to that?
Well, there's a good deal to that. We now know that the minimum for maintaining some level of health is 5 servings a day of fruits or vegetables. The average American is 3.4 servings, which is, you know, appallingly low. Interestingly, however, in the food world, to reduce free radicals, it takes 8 to 10 servings of fruits or vegetables a day.
Now, are you citing someone else's studies or is this something you've experienced?
I'm citing someone else's studies. There are several studies showing that the only proof of reducing free radical output is in people who eat a lot of fruits and vegetables, namely 8 to 10 servings a day. Now, a serving is 4 ounces of a vegetable or a small piece of fruit or 6 ounces of a fruit juice.
So we're literally talking about pounds of fruits and vegetables here.
Yeah. In fact, even vegans don't eat that much most of the time.
So the point I think I'm hearing you make is it's really tough to get your intake of antioxidants high enough without supplementation.
It is absolutely impossible, in my opinion, to get an adequate amount to reduce free radicals out of your diet. Now, I mean, as a person, I eat a minimum of 6 and sometimes 7 or 8 servings of fruits and vegetables a day. But I was still running a free radical output of 3 to 4+.
Okay. Now, let's go ahead and get into that because I think it would be interesting to get into the science just a little bit. You aren't just forming this as an opinion. You're using a scientifically validated test that was actually validated by the top PhD out of Loma Linda University. Is that correct?
That is correct. It's a test for malondialdehyde.
Yeah, what is that?
Well, it's a breakdown product essentially of the fat of your cell wall. You know, the cell wall is made up of a fatty substance. And when cells are killed by free radicals, the cell wall goes out and is metabolized into malondialdehyde.
So this is a normal process that happens every day.
Every day.
But you don't want it happening any faster than you have to have it happen.
Well, and if you have enough natural food-based antioxidants, then you can cut that production to between 0 and 1+.
Okay, and this is on a scale of 0 to 5?
0 to 5.
0 to 5. So since we in today's society don't do what we did in our past, we were hunters and gatherers and we ate what was ripe and available in season. Well, now we just go to the grocery store and get something that's prepackaged that was grown halfway to fruition and then harvested so it'd make it to market still edible.
Well, that's one of the real problems with the modern food supply. Rossium Hall, a wonderful nutritionist biochemist from Canada some years ago, wrote a book called Food for Naught. And he pointed out that in the average grocery store, the vitamin mineral content of the foods is really way below what it ought to be just because they haven't been raised properly.
Well, let's get back to the test. I want to get into this clinical trial because this is really, I think, what separates this one product from everything else. Now, you've been involved in supplementation and vitamins and minerals and herbs for how many years?
Oh, at least 50.
At least 50 years. Now, in fact, I want to go back on this. I was told that you are respected by your peers as being, if not the, at least one of the founding fathers of holistic medicine worldwide.
Well, we started the American Holistic Medical Association.
Now, that's for the lay public or MDs?
No, it's for physicians.
Okay, so that's only for physicians.
MDs or DOs.
Okay.
And we started it in 1978. And I was the founding president.
So you've been involved in holistic medicine, the real thing, for
3 decades.
Wow. Okay. Well, Mystica, when you did that initial pilot study, you were encouraged enough to go back and actually do this expanded study with 38 people.
That's correct.
Now, you had the evidence from the first study, so now you're a little bit encouraged, but you didn't do any kind of a selection process, and that freaked us out. Absolutely blew me away that you weren't going to throw out the smokers, throw out the clinically obese, throw out the diabetics. You had all comers come in because you wanted to do a real-world general populace study.
Yeah, I want to see if it worked.
So you weren't going to allow us to do a controlled study?
No way.
Okay. How big a deal is that in today's society in contrast to what you usually experience or see?
Well, most of the time you really select people who are free of everything you don't want. And, of course, what you don't want is people who are contaminating their body with nicotine, cigarette smoking, and significant obesity.
And those are the people that we're supposed to be helping. So you insisted we keep all those people in the study.
I drew up the protocol, and it was approved by a very tough woman who is our chair.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not on the committee, obviously.
Right. You can't be.
No. And so it was approved and we just selected whoever was volunteering to come as long as they would agree to take the Mystica for 3 weeks. I thought if we just went a little bit longer because, you know, the metabolism doesn't change overnight. Even for measuring cholesterol or something like that, you need 3 to 4 weeks before you can be certain of whether you've got a trend of where you're going. So we took 3 weeks, and again, just 1 ounce twice a day, morning and night, no other change in any aspect of their behavior. And now we got an astounding 80% of people to reduce their free radicals. And overall, 43% decrease in free radicals for the group as a whole.
So in other words, if I was a mathematician, that would be the mean.
That would be the mean. And that is highly statistically significant, the 0.001 in parlance, sometimes called significant as hell. But it means one chance in 10,000.
One chance in 10,000 that this could happen just
by
on
chance.
Its own, by chance.
In other words, this is far better than 99% of the research that gets reported.
All right. Well, let me jump on this, because you're saying something that I think a lot of people would just allow to go by. I understand that if you did a literature search today and you were a PhD researcher and you're sitting there on Medline or wherever you're researching, is there anything in the scientific literature that's even remotely this close by any substance, any product, drug or natural?
Not for reducing free radicals.
So this is actually a pretty big deal.
That is correct.
As a scientist who's been involved in this field and really a true expert on antioxidants, how surprised were you when you actually saw that outcome?
Well, let's say I was excited and pleased and, of course, somewhat surprised because it hasn't been reported before.
You're actually preparing a paper and preparing to submit it for publication.
That is correct, because I think the scientific world needs to know this is worth knowing about.
Could you in fact say that reducing free radical damage is really beneficial in all areas of health?
You bet, and again in longevity. If we could reduce free radicals by 43% in everybody, mm-hmm. average life expectancy should go up a minimum of 20 years.
If I were able to, in a theoretical world, because we're not allowed to make claims and we're not trying to do that here, but if theoretically I could reduce the speed at which my cells are dying, I would die slower. Is that kind of—
You would live longer.
I would live longer. Okay. So we're saying the same thing here.
You bet.
So slowing the death rate of our cells is really an important thing.
Of course. You know, the most important thing about it, Dan, is not how long you live. It's how well you live.
Ah, I agree.
And the quality of life is going to be improved if you reduce free radicals.
Do free radicals attack any particular part of the body?
Every cell in your body, from the skin in.
Wow. So we're talking about something that a lot of people just hear, oh, antioxidant this and antioxidant that. We kind of blow it off. It's really an important topic.
It is a crucial product.
Now, Norm, besides the fact that you've now clinically proven that this product is more effective than anything that's in the scientific literature, anything you've ever seen in your entire career, what about the quality of the company and the manufacturing behind it? And let me get a little bit specific about that. The manufacturing plant that makes that product is an OTC-3 certified plant. In other words, they could turn on the manufacture of drugs tomorrow. And you had the privilege of seeing that plant. What was the most impressive to you about what you saw?
Well, I think quality control. Quality control is so obvious.
That's a great topic, because in 2002, they were manufacturer of the year.
And it's easy to see why they were the manufacturer of the year. The quality is better than anything I've seen anywhere in the world.
You know what's really fun for me, Norm, is when we walked through the herb room.
Ah, yes.
You could smell it.
But it's totally quality controlled even there. Every product is individually screened and computer controlled.
You know, that was interesting, that from the moment it hits the loading dock on the back until it ends up in the capsule or the tablet, they've got computer control tracking that thing all the way through.
And even the labels are in a locked room.
Yeah, that was interesting. I didn't know that they did that.
Yeah. It's like government control to get into the room to pick
yeah,
up a label.
Yeah, and they won't let you take pictures or anything because of all the security everywhere.
Exactly.
Well, Norm, as we wrap up here, what I would like to do is just give you free license to say whatever you think for that person who's out there that's listening and saying, you know, I've kind of heard some of this stuff before, It's almost like when you were approached to test it, because people just don't really believe that there are products that can make a meaningful difference. So what would you say?
Well, if you're one of the average Americans, which 97% of people are, who don't eat enough fruits and vegetables, this is the best solution for your nutrition.
Wow, that's a blanket statement. You can actually say of everything you've ever seen, this is the one thing that you think that would have the most impact.
You bet. If you're going to not eat 10 servings of fruits or vegetables.
And I'm not. I'll be honest.
Well, I figured out from the antioxidant content that 2 ounces of Mystica is similar to eating 10 apples a day.
From your own research, that is what your correlation is.
Exactly.
Wow.
And there is no other product that I've seen published which comes close to that.
Now that you've heard from the scientists and the doctors, if you're interested in taking control of your health, your destiny, your future, contact the person that provided you this CD so that you too can discover the health-promoting benefits of this wonderful new product.
Please understand that individual results vary, and different people experience different results from these products. No guarantees, expressed or implied, are made. The discussion of various potential benefits to be derived from using these products are not meant as guarantees. Also, this is not a substitute for medical advice. You should consult your physician before beginning any diet, supplementation, or regarding medical symptoms.